What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, September 11th, 2024. On this day, you always give a thought to the horrific events of September 11th. We're here to talk sports, but I can't say, hey, everyone, it's September 11th. Welcome to the Andy Slater Show. No, it's September 11th. It's very meaningful, not for the best of reasons in the United States of America, but I am here again to talk sports. I am here to entertain. We all remember, we will never forget what happened on September 11th. So I've had a few days, and let me tell you right off the bat, I'm coming to you today from Medellin. I flew here yesterday. I flew to Bogota first. If you saw my IG stories, you saw the Emirates flight I went on from Miami to Bogota. I've had a crazy few days. Not all about me, but my last few days have been nuts. Ever since I got off the air on Monday and I told you guys I wasn't going to be here on Tuesday, which was yesterday, I'm a reporter. I live for big stories. When something big is happening, when I find out about something, I just go in the zone. The Tyreek Hill incident, we know by now it's not just local news. It's national news. Worldwide news. And my post of the body cam video, which is what everybody was waiting to see, the body cam video. Any single comment that came out before the body cam video did, every comment was, I want to see the body cam video. Release the body cam video. Where's the body cam video? Everything had to do with the body cam. The Miami-Dade Police Department, they released the body cam video. That was on Monday, late Monday afternoon. And of course, I was able to get it, as were other entities, but nobody, because it's just, I don't think it's possible, nobody is going to be able to do this as quickly as I can. That's just how it works. So I was able to grab, and there was like an, I think it was 108 minutes a video, something like that. I was able to grab the meat, about 3.5 minutes worth of video that also had audio, and posted it immediately. So here I am. I'm at my house on Monday. I get all of these files, and it was like 9 gigabytes of files. Thankfully, I have very high-speed internet, and I was able to grab them, figure out what was the part that everybody wanted to see, and get it up there on my Twitter feed, X feed, whatever you want to say. And that post now has more than 50 million views. 50 million. How many people wanted to see this body cam? It tells you right there. 50 million views. More than 50 million. Normally when I make a post, I don't like just putting out post after post after post after post. I'm more about quality, not quantity. So sometimes I won't make a post for 2 or 3 days because, again, it's about quality. When you see a post of mine, you know it's going to be something pretty good. Normally when I make a pretty good post, I'll get close to 100,000, maybe 50,000 sometimes. If it's a really good post that people want to see, I've gotten many times 1 million, 2 million. But 50 million and in 24 hours? That is just the amount of attention this story had. You're talking about the star player for the Miami Dolphins, the player voted number one in the league by his peers, and that was just a month or so ago, and the police. And not just the police, but the way the police acted. Nobody in that incident can say they did everything correctly. Nobody was perfect there. Nobody in life is perfect. But you've got to control your emotions. I haven't really given my opinion online. Online, I wear that journalist hat. Here on the show, I wear the journalist cap too, but I do give you my opinions. Normally, it's on sports. Like, I'm not going to give you my opinion on the debate last night. It's got no business here. But without spending 30 minutes giving you my opinion on what I saw, I think I can summarize it in about 60 seconds. Was Tyreek Hill perfect and pleasant when he got pulled over and the cops were talking to him, even though they were not talking to him in the nicest form? But was he pleasant and perfect? No. However, on a daily basis, cops are spoken to in ways that are way worse than what Tyreek was saying. And they just have to live with it. Dragging somebody out of the car and then getting them to the ground when you can tell they're not really a threat. There was way too much aggression there from the officers. And then Calais Campbell, I mean, that one officer just, it's like heat of the moment. That's not an excuse. You just can't do that. Maybe legally you can, but come on. We live in reality. Everything can't be, okay, well, legally. Let's have some common sense and reality. And I've been over a minute now talking about this, so my apologies. I thought it would only go 60 seconds. So not anybody, no one there was perfect, but that never had to happen. Sure, Tyreek could have left his window down, handed over his stuff, and that was it. But on the officer's end, rightfully so, in my opinion, that one officer was put on administrative duty immediately. It's just way too aggressive. And that's with a body cam. I mean, they know they got the body cam on. It was very, very tough to watch. Every time I watch it, and I've probably watched it about four times now, it just seems worse. So it's very unfortunate that that all went down. At least, though, I was able to get you that video immediately. Again, more than 50 million views in about a 24-hour period. Just crazy, the amount of attention. And rightfully so, this should get attention. But there's more and more that's going to be happening with this story, as you've heard yesterday, today. We'll hear more tomorrow. The Dolphins are playing tomorrow. If you don't follow me on social media, maybe you're new to South Florida. Maybe you just tuned into the program for the first time. You could check out my Instagram. Just search Andy Slater, my Twitter feed at Andy Slater, because that is where I give you the
Slater Scoop,
which is actually now trademarked. So I officially own
Slater's Scoop.
I'm the owner of it. On top of that, let me give you another quick story. I feel like it's story time. The only reason I actually got that video to post it is because my parlay with Hard Rock Bet was still live. You might be thinking, wait a minute, what does a parlay have to do with getting the Tyreek Hill body cam video and posting it first? I had a three-leg parlay with Hard Rock Bet. The first game I had was Sunday afternoon, the Jags and the Dolphins. The second leg was Sunday night, the Rams and the Lions. And the third leg was Monday Night Football, the Jets and the 49ers. If the first two legs of that parlay had not won, I would have flown to Medellin to hang out for the week. I would have flown on Monday night. The flight left at like 5:45 p.m. I was sent the video at about 6 p.m. But because my parlay with Hard Rock Bet for $30,000 was still live, I said, I'm not going to be able to be on a plane. Maybe I'll lose the Wi-Fi. I got to stay in South Florida and watch this game at the Hard Rock. And because my parlay was live and I stayed, I was able to download the body cam video and post it on social media. And I thought to myself, my gosh, as somebody who likes to bring you the
Slater's scoop,
if I was on that plane, not only would I have been out of my parlay, but I would have gotten an email with the body cam video and I would not have been able to do anything with it. I would have seen it on my phone. I don't know if I would have scrambled to the overhead to grab my laptop and start doing something on the plane, but the internet wouldn't be as fast on the plane as it is in my house. I would have been fuming. So I wouldn't have hit the parlay. I wouldn't have had the body cam video. Instead, I had the body cam video, posted it. It's got more than 50 million views. And I hit the parlay for 30K. Oof. What a Monday that was. But now it's Wednesday. This story is not going to go away, but we are one day away from another Dolphins football game. So I have a lot to discuss. However, I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
The Miami Dolphins play a football game tomorrow. I think that's important to say. Tomorrow is game day. It is here. And it's not just any game. It's a home game against the Buffalo Bills. That is a team that has owned the Miami Dolphins. That's a team that came into Hard Rock Stadium last season and they won the division. Josh Allen has dominated the Miami Dolphins in his career. All of this is a bit odd, playing on a Thursday night, short turnaround, and so quickly into the season, right out of the gate. You play Sunday, you play Thursday. And at the same time, it's a game with such high consequence. Realistically, if the Miami Dolphins do not win the division, if they don't host a home playoff game, it could be because of a loss tomorrow night. They're probably going to have to beat Buffalo once, at least once, to win the division. And tomorrow night, that's their best chance. The next time they see the Bills, it's November 3rd. You win in September in Miami Gardens, or you go on the road and win at Buffalo in November. I would say option one is probably best. If you look back at last year's loss, the final game of the season, the Dolphins truly had it all there for them. They're at home. The game was flexed to primetime. You got Tua against Allen. And what happened? Tua wasn't very good. He had a couple of picks. The Dolphins had that monumental stop right before the half where you're thinking maybe they could build off of this. But nope. They scored just 14 points at home. And when you hear any of the Dolphins talk about this, Tua mentioned it. He said, we know the narrative is out there that we can't beat the Bills because We haven't. I think it's 10 out of 11 for Buffalo. But you know what? It's not a narrative. By definition, a narrative is a story. It's not a story. It's just factual information. It's data. Stephen Ross may own Hard Rock Stadium, but the past few years, Josh Allen has owned the Miami Dolphins. And that's just the truth.
I want the truth!
No doubt there's some gamesmanship going on. The Dolphins have Jordan Poyer now. Buffalo, they have Mike White. The Dolphins cut him. He goes to Buffalo, practice squad. Both teams sort of have a spy. Mike White, though, was in the quarterback's room with Tua all preseason, so that might be helpful for them when it comes to game planning. Jordan Poyer, he's been in that Bills locker room a long time. He knows what they're saying over there. He knows what Buffalo thinks of Miami and what Buffalo thinks they can do to the Miami Dolphins. In the end, though, I don't think any of that matters. These two teams, they're division rivals. Are there really going to be surprises? The Dolphins, they're going to try to get the ball to Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. That's not a shocker. Josh Allen's going to try to make some plays, extend some plays with his legs. We all know that. The Dolphins know it. The Bills know it. What's going to determine that game tomorrow night will be execution. When you play a team twice a year, sometimes three if the playoffs get involved, a lot of the same coaches, a lot of the same stars, it's about which team gets to its stuff better and quicker and with more regularity than the other. That's what it all comes down to. I have a lot more to say about this game. I'm not done talking about Tyreek. There's a lot to get to, including my poker tournament. The Slater Scoops Poker Tournament. I want you to join me next Tuesday night, less than a week away. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. $20,000 guaranteed in the prize pool. It's only $250 to buy in. The tournament begins at 6 p.m. That's next Tuesday night, September 17th. You could register until 9:30, so you got plenty of time to get there next Tuesday night. $20,000 is the minimum amount of money that'll be up for grabs. Normally it's about $25,000 or $30,000, but the minimum will be $20,000. I hope to see you next Tuesday night. That's 6 days away, September 17th. It's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament at 6 p.m. next Tuesday night. You got until 9:30 p.m. to get there, though, in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. If the Miami Dolphins are going to win this football game tomorrow night, their offense has got to be a lot sharper. The running game didn't really exist in week one, which was just a few days ago. And now we heard Mike McDaniel, I'm assuming you heard the news. He said Raheem Mostert, Money Mostert, he's not playing tomorrow night. Devon Achane, according to Mike McDaniel, will be a so-called game-time decision. He said, we'll see. But reports out of Dolphins practice from earlier today were that Achane was moving around pretty well. So we'll probably see Achane. It's unknown, but we'll probably see him. Raheem Money Mostert, we will not see. Everything that we did see on Sunday, to me, was pretty flat. And I'm not just talking about the running game. Even Tua wasn't that good. He had two explosive throws the entire game. It's nice to have an explosive throw, but he only had two of them. One to Waddle, and then the 80-yard score to Tyreek. But that was it. Those were the big plays. And that's not enough when you have a big play offense. The Miami Dolphins are known for big plays. They got playmakers who make big plays. They only had two of them. They got the win, but they're going to need a lot more than what they had on Sunday. The play calling, I didn't like it. On defense, I thought, okay, Anthony Weaver had a good debut. That was impressive. But on offense, I don't know what Mike McDaniel was doing from the get-go. I don't know what he was doing. And this whole notion that Tua was more mobile, I didn't really see it. In fact, I saw him get sacked a few times. The whole run game wasn't a factor. They were mostly bad in short yardage. They had to use Alex Ingold. He was like the only one who did well in short yardage. Jonnu Smith was a non-factor. None of the things that we thought were going to happen happened, which was very odd, quite unusual. But you'd have to think, back-to-back home games, you got a team that was the most explosive offensively in the NFL. That would be the Dolphins. And I know Tua threw for over 300 yards, but that number was a bit inflated. But okay, yeah, he threw for over 300. My point is, what are the odds that the Dolphins are going to have another low-scoring performance and only two big plays? I think the odds are low. Two games in a row to do this? I know it's early in the season, but I think they'll be sharper. Even without Raheem Mostert, they got too much talent on that offense to play like they did against Jacksonville. The only way that Dolphins offense will look flat again is if the offensive line stinks. Like, let's say it wasn't just a bad performance on Sunday, but if this O-line really is not good at all and they truly cannot protect Tua and they cannot open up the running game, if that is the case, then the speed the Dolphins have won't matter. Tua won't be able to get his playmakers the ball. Maybe a couple of times. I saw too much from Mike McDaniel and that offense to expect a game with a 1 yard rushing touchdown and a bomb. Those are the only two TDs they had the whole game. I saw way too much from this Dolphins offense last year to believe that's all they can do. The fact that they play 4 days after their first game, and that would be tomorrow, I don't know if it's better to do it this early in the season before guys are like really sore and banged up. It's a short turnaround, but is it better to have that now or in week 14 where guys have been dealt a season's worth of bumps and bruises? Maybe it's not so bad right now. I understand why the NFL does Thursday night football. They get to own another night of programming. They get a fat check from Amazon Prime. But if they really cared about player safety, to make guys play an NFL game on Sunday and then only have 3 days off and then go play another one, the toll that takes on the body, we see it. We see guys get hurt. We see bad quality of play. They'll change the kickoff rules because of player safety. We care about the players. The most boring play of the game, we care about them. But in terms of a short turnaround, that's like pitching a major league starter. He throws 8 innings. And then on 1 or 2 days rest, we're going to go ahead and throw him out there again. What are the chances of something going wrong? Pretty good. They're at least much greater than having him on a complete 4 days of rest and then going out there and pitching again. The Dolphins will be going up against a different Bills team. Stephon Diggs no longer there. That changes many things. He was their top target. But at the same time, Diggs was a bit of a mess in that locker room, reportedly. Things had gone sour with him and Josh Allen. Maybe that's addition by subtraction. Will it be a more cohesive Bills squad? Took them time to figure it out in their game Sunday against Arizona. You can change all the players you want. Ultimately, this game tomorrow night is going to come down to Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa. And Josh Allen has the better of it again and again and again, so many times. He's made so many plays against Miami, and Tua's made so many mistakes against the Bills. Tua tomorrow night has got to be the guy who earned the big contract. This has got to be a game that Tua wins. No Mostert. Probably you'll have Achane, but Mike McDaniel says we'll see. I know the D can help. The playmakers can help. But I'm sure tomorrow night there's going to be a moment of truth, and it'll be with Tua having the ball in his hands. That'll be fun to watch. Hopefully it works out in a good way for Miami. Come Friday, I'm going to have a hugely optimistic show. Oh my gosh, the Dolphins are 2-0. They got a one-game lead on Buffalo. They got a long weekend. Or we'll have the type of show on Friday where it's week two and I'm already concerned that they cannot win the division. That's how big tomorrow night's game is. So quickly into the season. But let's go. Let's ride. Let's see how it all turns out. Let's enjoy it. I know a big story on Thursday Night Football will not only be the gameplay, the importance of it, but again, it will be about Tyreek and the Miami-Dade Police Department. More things coming out today. What do I know? What can I explain? What have the Miami Dolphins said over the last 24 hours? What should everybody expect to come from this? I'll give you more info. I'll give you a little bit more of my take. And Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol, he's going to be joining us as well. We hope tomorrow night is a good time had by all. And now that the Dolphins don't play this weekend, maybe you want to make some plans? Head on out to Gulfstream Park. Exciting racing action at Gulfstream Park. When I go to Gulfstream Park, I go to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms. The AC is kicking in Ten Palms. Get myself a table. Either get the buffet, which they've got on the weekend, order off of the menu. The food is really good at Gulfstream Park. If you don't want to go to the trackside restaurant, you can hang out at the Carousel Club. Really cool spot to be. Watch all the races live as well. And right now, it is the Sunshine Meet at Gulfstream Park. They've got live racing going on right there in front of you every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Wager on the races. They got big, big money to be won out there in the pick four, pick five, their rainbow six, so many different types of wagers. And you can even wager as little as 10 or 20 cents and make thousands of dollars. It happens all of the time. Live racing right now every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday during the Sunshine Meet happening in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. Tyreek Hill spoke a little while ago. Said he wants the officer gone, 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 gone. I think he said gone about 8 or 9 times, but you get the point. He wants the officer gone. I actually think this week the Tyreek incident is more of a distraction than it was last week. Because on Sunday, it happens in the morning, and then immediately they're playing the game. But then after the game, it's talked about. Monday, it's talked about. Yesterday, it's talked about. Today, it's talked about. Tomorrow, it will be discussed. Tyreek did say he's not going to take a knee. I believe he said he's not going to do anything like that. But I still think this is more of a distraction now than it was the day it happened. Because today, we all know what happened. We saw what happened. We heard what happened. We heard from the coach. We heard from Tua. We heard Tyreek today. It's a big thing. Tyreek was not asked one football question. Maybe about affecting him on the field, but nothing about the Bills. They play the Bills tomorrow night. He was not asked one question about facing the Bills. And I'm not saying that in a way where it's like, how could he not have been asked a question about that? No, I agree with the reporters. The big story is what happened on Sunday outside the stadium with him. Not inside. Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol, he joins me every Wednesday. The Highway Patrol, they were not involved with this, but I still want to ask Lieutenant Camacho questions about the incident and what should have taken place. I'll do that next. Here on this Wednesday, just like every other Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol with us on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, kind of in a funny way, I wish you were with the Miami-Dade Police Department and not the Highway Patrol right now, because you might be able to answer more questions. But we're not talking about any crashes on I-95. We're not talking about any shootings, thankfully. We're talking about what happened outside Hard Rock Stadium last Sunday. Lieutenant, how are you?
Doing good, Andy. Yeah, it's quite the story. It's been everywhere I look, they're talking about it. So, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm sure a lot of people have contacted you, friends, family members. You've seen the video. What do you think? I'm not going to limit what you say. That's up to you. Sure. But when you first heard about it, when you first read about it, and then when you saw the actual body cam footage, what goes through Lieutenant Camacho's mind?
Well, at first, obviously, you don't know, right? You're just going based off of the cell phone footage that's going around social media. And what you see is Tyreek in handcuffs, and then he gets sat down. But you just really don't know, right? Then you start getting a little bit more information about why he was stopped, about why he was, you know, asked to get out of the car. And then everybody was just asking, hey, is this the state troopers? That was the first question. Do the troopers have Tyreek Hill detained? And I said, no, it wasn't the state troopers. And then they said, is he going to play today? I said, I don't know. Let me see what I can find out, you know. But anyway, once the body camera is released, it gives you the big picture of what occurred. And honestly, Andy, I've looked at it several times, and I have to say that, you know, both sides contributed to the situation kind of ending or escalating the way it did. And let's talk about it. What do you think about
okay,
it?
Okay, so, well, I've given my thoughts, but let me ask you some, I don't want to say legal questions, but you're a law enforcement officer. You stop somebody on the side of the road. A lot of people going back and forth online, Lieutenant, saying, well, here's the rule. Do I have to roll my window down? What do I have to give an officer? So let's just start with that. You pull somebody over. What does that person have to do? What are they obligated to do?
You have to identify yourself, first of all. You have to, you know, you have to pull over. You're being stopped for an infraction or whatever the case might be. You have to 100% identify yourself, and normally that requires you to hand over your driver's license, which would require you to lower your window and, you know, hand it to the officer to make sure it's, you know, a valid license, it's a real license, not a counterfeit license, things like that. So it requires some type of exchange between the driver and the officer. But I would say the absolute first thing you have to do is, of course, identify yourself, because, like I've said, you know, so many times on this show, you just don't know who you have stopped, right? And that's, I think, what you're obligated to do. Now, if you get an order from an officer, you do have to comply with those orders, right? Depending on, you know, you, whatever the reason might be, but you certainly have to comply with the officer's orders.
So let me stop you for a second here, because I think a lot of people are thinking this. Mm-hmm. You talk about handing over the license. I roll my window down. I don't even know how far I have to roll it down. I hand you my license.
Right.
Like, are we good? I mean, you do your thing. And another follow-up to that before you answer, does it matter that my windows might be heavily tinted where you can or cannot see in my car?
Of course. Now, every situation is different, right? There's been plenty of times where I've pulled over a vehicle. I make that initial approach, right? Introduce myself, get the license, and I say, all right, I'll be right back. Walk over to my car. Maybe I issue a citation. Maybe I do my records check, right? And in the meantime, people have put their window back up. I mean, it's South Florida. It gets a little hot outside. People have air conditioning. You know, they want to be comfortable. In this case, whether the officer knew who he had pulled over, now you're dealing with a celebrity that's pretty well known, might not want to have his identity out there, so rolled his window up to kind of not be seen, right? But now that also, to your original question, but now the officer can't really see inside that car because those tints looked pretty dark as far as from the video. They look pretty dark, so now what goes into your mind from an officer's perspective, you don't know what's happening in that car, right? You don't know if somebody's reaching, you know, for a weapon. You just don't know what's happening in the car. So yeah, the tints definitely have a big thing to do with it. That's why he was asked to lower the window again, and he did crack it open. But I think it could have, like I said, both sides contributed. I think if the concern was what was happening inside the car, maybe one of the officers could have just stood by there and maybe looked inside of that when you, once he cracked the window. I think maybe it was enough to see inside to make sure that maybe he wasn't doing anything alarming with his hands or reaching for anything.
At what point, though, Lieutenant, I mean, if I hand you my license, you have it, and you then tell me, get out of the car. And I feel like I've done nothing wrong. This doesn't have to be just Tyreek Hill. I feel like I've done nothing wrong. I gave you my license. You tell me for whatever reason that I don't know, get out of your car. If I feel like I've done nothing wrong, I'm sitting there, I gave you my license, you tell me to get out of my car, do I have to get out of my car because you said so?
You do. Yes. The answer is yes. There's case law where now officers have to have some kind of a, at the very least, some kind of like reasonable suspicion, right? There has to be something there for the officer to feel like have the person come out of the car. Typically, you don't just do it for no reason. You have to have some kind of a justification. But the bottom line is, if you are ordered by an officer to get out of your car, you have to comply with that order because you just don't know what the reason might be.
Okay, but again, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to keep this conversation going. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol with us on the Andy Slater Show. When you say you need to have some sort of probable cause, at that moment, as the driver, I mean, you're not asking the officer, hey, what's your probable cause? You're just saying that you have some sort of reason, and could that be discussed later, I guess, but not at that point.
No, I didn't say probable cause. I said you have to have, at the very least, some kind of reasonable suspicion. Right?
Reasonable suspicion. Okay.
Yeah, probable. Well, if you have probable cause, I mean, that's it. You don't. You're probably going to jail at that point if an officer has probable cause to ask you to get out of the car. But if there's a suspicion that something might be going on inside of that car, you just get that funny feeling where you just feel more comfortable with the person standing outside of the car, then you can ask them to get out of the car, and they have to comply with that, as long as the officer at a later time, not right there where he's asking you, hey, get out of the car right now. That's not the time to really have that discussion. You just get out of the car, you know, just like the officer's asking, and then you can later ask, hey, why are you asking me to get out of the car? What's the reason for this? Did I do something wrong? You know, and the officer will have to explain that. But right at that moment where you're being ordered to get out of the car is definitely not the time to ask. Just because more than likely the officer will have a reason for it. And I'm not sure in this incident, because I don't have all the facts, what the reasoning might may have been why he was ordered to get out of the car. But typically, that's what you would need to have to ask somebody, or to order somebody, rather, to get out of the car.
Lieutenant, what do you think this incident, one where I released the body cam video first and it's got more than 50 million views? So this thing's been seen worldwide by many people. What do you think that does for the community and law enforcement?
Well, what it certainly does is it ensures transparency, Andy, 100%. There's nothing to hide here. The department, I think, did a good job in getting out in front of it because it was, it's a big incident. And so getting out in front of that incident, right, and releasing that camera, at the very least, it ensures transparency, which is what, you know, builds trust with the members of the community. There's nothing to hide here. They announced that they're going to investigate it. I think the officer was put on some kind of administrative leave or something until the outcome of it. And that's what will happen. There will be an investigation. There will be policy that's going to be reviewed. And everything in totality will be taken into consideration. You can't just prematurely jump to a conclusion, right? Or, think you know what happened, or say, you know, this officer needs to be fired. No, that's not the case. It will be investigated, and everything will be done so, you know, very detailed, very carefully. But as far as releasing the video, it had to be done, Andy, because, again, even though it might, you know, whatever you think transpired, or everybody has an opinion, right? But it ensures transparency, and what you want from the community that you serve is ultimately their trust.
Well, I like the fact they released the video within 24 hours, Lieutenant, because the next time I want a video for anything, I want it within 24 hours. It's not you guys. It's the Miami-Dade Police Department. But, I mean, you set yourself up for that. So, because, look, Tyreek Hill, at the end of this conversation, in reality, we know this is different than somebody else, like Michael Hill, whoever it may be.
Right.
But everybody should be treated the same, no? I mean, you're going to say yes sure. to that.
Yeah. And that's why, but that also goes back to, yes, it's everybody should be treated the same. But not every incident or not every situation is the same, right? There's different factors. There's different contributing factors to every incident you can find yourself in, you know? And just like the department released the video, maybe they prioritized it for obvious reasons. Again, not every incident is the same. And they felt that that was what was necessary to do to really try to just, you know, again, maintain that transparency.
Last question for you, Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. Even though you're with FHP and not with Miami-Dade Police, you probably see on social media, and I think a letter went out too, that there's a lot of threats. I've seen them myself online, threats towards law enforcement. Oh, you know what? Just shoot them. I mean, that doesn't accomplish a whole lot, but when you see that, what do you do?
That's nothing new, Andy. We've seen that every time there's a controversial incident involving police, which historically has happened several times, there's always going to be a threat to law enforcement. It's really nothing new, Andy. There's nothing really that you can do. You monitor it with your intelligence bureaus. You monitor it to see if it's, something with that has credit, right? That has it's backed and you can follow up on leads and things like that. But it's nothing new for the law enforcement community, Andy, that the kind of the hate messages that often come after a controversial incident. So I think they're going to continue to do law enforcement as a whole. We'll just monitor these type threats and see if they're credible and just go from there.
Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol, I appreciate the explanation and the time. Stay safe out there, and hopefully we don't see you in any videos.
No, hopefully not. All right, Andy, good talking to you.
All right, take care. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. That's a tough situation for any law enforcement officer speaking about this, especially on the record. But I think Lieutenant Camacho did as best as he possibly could there, explaining it. Because you can't really give your opinion as an official. I guess you can, but it's not the smart thing to do. And I did my best in asking him what needed to be asked. He can't speak for the Miami-Dade Police Department. If that was somebody with the Miami-Dade Police Department, like I said at the beginning there, I wish he was with Miami-Dade Police, because then I'd be able to ask specific questions pertaining to that incident. All right, that's all the time I got for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. It'll be game day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.